we are at State Fair in Catonsville. It's another Baltimore Positive Edition. Don Moeller, we have been seeking out the Speaker of the House for... So since she became a Speaker of the House, I remember we were doing Baltimore Positive when it all happened. I'm going to let you do the honors because she's from your side of town, not my side, even though she's Baltimore County.
We're going to give her a little tea from State Fair as we get started.
Thank you.
She's traveling all over the state. It's hard on the voice.
Yes,
it's
hard. It is.
I'm going through that this week, too, talking about Lamar Jackson. I know you can imagine, but you're getting ready for this run. And, we get started beginning of the year. We're all watching impeachments and we're all watching legislation. All of this is going on for you in gearing up for first run at this year. It's going to be a little different without the former speaker with us.
Yes, definitely. But the last session, I had been presiding, and I've been presiding off and on the last 16 years. So it's just this will be full time.
Business as usual.
Speaker, it's amazing when we've known each other for decades. When I look down today, and it actually struck me, I said, 22 years.
Yep.
Adrian has been in the General Assembly for 22 years.
Yes.
Talk a little bit about, and at some point, we'll go back shortly to growing up in Cowdensville. We want to educate people about that. But talk a little bit about the 22 years in terms of how the General Assembly has evolved. What do you see when you look back 22 years ago, and what do you see today?
Well, back in 1997, the General Assembly, the House of Delegates in particular, was not as diverse as it is this time around, or we had more older delegates who were representing areas this time around. And over the last couple of terms, I think I saw that more, and in particular now, this last few terms, there's been more women, more millennials who've been coming aboard. And I think and when I say more women, because of the fact that the Emerge program every year has had women who went through the program and they have been successful in their run for the House of Delegates.
Now, those of us who are in the business and have lived the political life know about Emerge, but it really has been a game changer. Tell folks out there, and Nestor may not even be familiar, with what Emerge is and how it's made a difference.
Emerge is a program that women can go through in which they can learn about the elective process, and it's not just for the General Assembly, it could be council, any type of political involvement. They have various seminars, at different speakers that come forward. They come down every session in Annapolis, in which I speak for the group in terms of how what effect women have, because women have a different perspective in how they look at things, and I think that perspective is greatly needed in Annapolis, and it does make a difference. I'm not saying a women against man thing, but women tend to go into more details. They want to make sure that what they're doing makes sense, and because they know they're representing people in their district, they want to go beyond what's normally that you do. So, and they want to be very knowledgeable. They'd have no problems for asking those who can best help them in the subject matter which they would like to pursue.
That preparation part, interesting, isn't it, Nestor? Because we had Maggie McIntosh on and was talking about her role and her years down there, and she also talked about the power of women and the importance of women as elected leaders. And we take it back. I always joke, as a former educator, one thing you count on when you look at little girls all the way back to elementary school, the guy may wing it, but the little girl's going to do her homework.
Yes.
She's coming to class prepared. And you're saying that extends actually to the General Assembly.
Yeah. And I remember when I first came, my first few years, and I said, well, I don't know whether or not, because you remember I was appointed due to the death of one of the delegates in the 10th District. And when I got there, I saw mostly men and not too many people of color. But at the same time, I would hear the guys get up on the floor and they were pontificating. And because they were talking loud and they weren't really saying anything. And then I remember that I would stay late in my office, sometimes 11 p.m. and 12 midnight, reading the bills. And I said, well, maybe this wasn't for me. And then, you know, that's when the change went, when the governor party changed in 2002. And then that's how, you know, when I became when Mike Bush became speaker and I became speaker pro tem.
Well, go ahead now.
No, you were talking about women, and suffrage and Roe versus Wade and just primary women's issues over the last century. But for a quarter of a century in the state of Maryland, having women involved, how has it affected things? What bills, laws, grants, things that might not have happened if there weren't more women?
Yeah, absolutely. Some of the bills that we have today that I can guarantee you men wouldn't have thought about, you know, if we got more, because of the fact women are the childbearers. So we have bills that deal with, you know, child care for those who are not as fortunate to have a paid babysitter, child care subsidies, because we look at all income levels in the state. And so and bills such as that, bills that and more recently this past session we had bills that had that would determine the gender equity on our boards, because a lot of the boards are, you know, heavily, I mean, some of these really prominent boards. So I think for the women's perspective, and particularly some of these bills that come out of the women's caucus, keep in mind that sometimes women have been left out in some of these areas, and I think that they're more cognizant, and if it hasn't gotten changed, they'll put a bill in for it. So,
well, it's interesting. This will actually broadcast just before the session, which will be your first full session.
So we should say happy holidays.
Happy holiday. I hope everyone had a good holiday, right? Because this is going to be going up when we go to session. But as we record this, it's interesting. Again, we talk about women, and I'm thinking about last night. There was the 9,000th presidential debate so far, and again, there was discussion about women's issue, and I think about paid family leave and those things that women really do bring a different voice to.
Yes. That has been on our agenda. I think what you hear nationally that you hear. On the local level, the states are you know, dealing with them individually from their perspective. Bills may be a little different, but for the most part, it gives that voice. And I've been seeing that since over my 22 years. I've been seeing that more of a voice. And you're saying we're in 21st century, but some of those which you would have thought had been changed previously are now beginning to be changed, and more and more bills are being put into that effect.
Well, you know, you talk about strong women, and you can't talk about strong women like Speaker Adrienne Jones and not talk about growing up in a household with four brothers.
Yes.
One girl and four brothers.
Yes.
And Kevin, talk about that experience, because your brothers like to tease a little bit that they toughened you up for what was happening.
Were you the youngest?
No, I was the second oldest.
Second oldest. So you have three younger brothers.
Yes.
All right.
One slightly older, just a year older. No, I think that in my oldest brother, Barry, sometimes thinks that I'm bossy. I'm just frank, and in terms of
direct.
Yeah, direct. And
I like that.
I think a lot of times you always have these fractions with brothers and sisters, but in the result, you know, we all love each other. We know what's the best. You know, we try to support each other in our quests, but and what our jobs are. And they have been very supportive of me, just as I am supportive of them and what they're doing. So,
well, you know, your entire family. One of our themes that we really enjoy talking with leaders around the region is who they were, where they grew up, how that formed who they are today. everyone, each of your brothers, every one of you is successful. Every one of you has this deep sense of family. Talk about where, that can't be an accident.
No, we had great parents that instilled in us the importance of education, the importance of doing for others. You know, we grew up in a historical African-American community called Cowdensville.
See, I'm from Dundalk, so I knew Turner Station. Similar?
Yes, it was.
Tell people where Cowdensville is.
Cowdensville, if you're familiar with Arbutus, it's the African-American community that was, I'll put it in context. I lived in Cowdensville. Down the street on Dolores Avenue with Bob Ehrlich, where he, his and his family lived. So it was like a about a block, maybe it's more than that. Maybe it's about four or five blocks apart from each other. And in Baltimore County, there are approximately about 40-some historical communities such as that. And Turner Station is one of them in the southeast area. This happens to be in the southwest area. They instilled in us the importance of education in terms of being successful no matter what you decide to do in life. And also in terms of treat others as you would want to be treated. And they also were realistic that sometimes that you may be called a name or, you know, you may be, but you had to go forward and instilled in me because I like dealing with people, all sorts of people. And, you know, my degree is in psychology, so it comes handy with at the Maryland General Assembly.
But, I feel like you're analyzing me since the minute you walked in the door.
So, but they that was very, very important to us. We were very close-knit, you know, so, but they had a effect on all of us. All four of my brothers. We joke, but we support each other, and we all went into some form of public service.
How does that happen? Your parents?
It just that I think what they is in our DNA from our parents in terms of what is important. Our parents, left us in the mid 90s. So, but they. During that time and growing up, we knew what as my mother used to tell me, be yourself or you'll be by yourself. And they would, yeah,
there you, go.
They always, you know, give you the words of wisdom. But we knew that didn't do anything to embarrass the family. But education was the key to success. And so that's why all of us, went to some level of education. I think that's how we all, you know, have gotten to where we are currently.
I always say it takes a lot of courage to run for public office. Mm-hmm. And what got into you? Where was the bug for you to go on this pathway? Because I don't know that anybody really grows up when they're 12 thinking they're going to be the Speaker of the House or run that sort of life. That's more of an adult thought, right?
No, I call myself the accidental candidate because, as I mentioned before, I served on the I was appointed by, at that time, Governor Schaefer on the statewide central committee. And when one of the delegates that represented my area in the 10th passed away, I was encouraged to take the remainder of her term. And I was reluctant at the beginning because my mom was very ill and I was being the only daughter, going back and forth every day. But it wound up that I wound up being selected after 16 other people had also filed because they told me just go ahead and file. I think Dutch was the county executive.
Dutch
at the
encouraged
time.
You.
Dutch encouraged me. Yeah, and so that's how that happened. And then I took the remainder of the term, and and as I was telling you about the first part, I thought I made a mistake, and then And then when the change in the governor flipped from Democrat to Republican, and then the longest serving speaker at the time lost his election, a chairman of Economic Matters by the name of Mike Bush had contacted me, but not before Cass had...
What's about Cass Taylor?
Cass Taylor had decided to contest the race. So it wasn't until November 20th, which just happened to be my birthday.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Madam Speaker.
And I got a call, 8:30, from Mike Bush saying that Cass Taylor has conceded. And he said he's going to go for speaker, and would I like to be his speaker pro tem? And I told him yes. And the remarkable thing about that is, I knew Bush. I didn't serve on this committee. Our commonality is that we both work for local government. He, Anne Arundel, and I, Baltimore County. But when they did the release, this said that that I was consensus builder, didn't have a big ego, etc. And the and I have two things I tell young people. Number one, you never know when circumstances present itself, and number two, you never know who's watching. And so, you know, from that, and then I've, you know, now we have gone to where we are, 16 years of served as his speaker pro tem, and until his passing April 7th, and then I was sworn.
Which parts of Mike, because we talk with folks, it's going to be a very different session, even though...
I don't think we've talked. I think every person we've talked to, we talk about Mike, right?
We talk about literally Mike Bush, and we talk about Mike Miller, and Mike Miller is still going to be there and hopefully healthy and feeling good, but he won't be in the Senate president role. What? How's it going to feel without the two Mikes, and which part of Mike Bush will you take up on that podium? What did Mike Bush teach you that you're going to take up on that podium?
I think the main thing, he saw the good in everyone, and he gives you chances of some people who may not thought that, you know, they were capable of doing a particular task or serving on a committee or what have you. And I think that, you know, I will continue. And we also want to make sure that our session, during this session, that we're not fragmented. You know, we want to make sure that we're doing the best for the citizens that we were sent to Annapolis to represent. And I think, again, that is something that anyone who's a presiding officer would like to have, and have good communications with their members, and members feel that they can, if there is an issue of concern, they can knock on the door and say, I need to talk to the speaker about. So, and I think all those were traits that Mike Bush had and that I observed during the times that we were speakers.
Interesting. You described yourself as a consensus builder, low ego consensus builder. Uh-huh. Boy, in the modern era, that it just sounds like, oh, I'm a consensus builder. That's good. That's the hardest thing you can be, right? I mean, that's the hardest job is convincing people to sort of get on board for something that they might not agree with, because you're never going to get elected with a full, you know, everyone voted took you, but that's a very difficult thing to do, building consensus in a modern world.
Yeah, but I always let someone, if they have an issue, come in and talk to me about it, because sometimes you find that a person has misinformation and they're running with misinformation, and it's up to me to make sure, okay, this is what we actually mean. This is what you need to actually do. And a lot of times they say, oh, I didn't know that's what you meant, or I heard XYZ. So it's very important, those lines of communication, the fact that they can come and express their concerns. And because a lot of times it is due to misinformation.
How do you keep, Madam Speaker, how do you keep Washington-style politics, and I think this is what Nestor was getting to, Washington-style politics and acrimony from creeping in to Annapolis.
Well, we're going to have Kerwin in the next episode, right? I mean,
right.
We're going
right.
to talk about that. That's going to be something right. where consensus is going to be everything.
How do you work to keep that kind of anger and partisanship out of Annapolis?
Well, I think people know my style. I mean, both, you know, the Democrats and the Republicans. And I'll, you know, I have no problem if someone is going off the rails or, you know, to call them back, have the Speaker Pro Tem to take the rostrum, call somebody back, and, you know, just have a
getting called to the principal's office.
Yeah, getting called to the principal's office from a former principal here. So
he never called me when he was the principal. <back in the
80s. laughs> So, I think there's a way of doing it without being, you know, I don't know, I'm saying disrespectful, but having the type of incidents or screaming that you see in Annapolis. I mean, not in Annapolis, in Washington.
But thank you. But before we go to break, I want to jump back. I've been sitting here thinking we have another connection. You and all your brothers went to Lansdowne. Go Vikings. Mm-hmm. I spent 11 years there. Love my Vikings. Mm-hmm. When I think back to the early to mid to late 60s, mm-hmm. when your family was attending Lansdowne, mm-hmm. and as well, is that Arbutus Jr. you went to then?
Arbutus Jr.
Arbutus Jr. Mm-hmm. at the time, mm-hmm. not middle. Mm-hmm. And then I guess Arbutus L.
Yep.
Arbutus mm-hmm. Elementary. So straight through Arbutus and then to Lansdowne. Mm-hmm. There weren't a lot of folks that looked like you at that time in those schools. Mm-mm. Talk a little bit, because I think that, again, we hear so much about white privilege and mm-hmm. this and that. And I think there's an example that Nestor and I, we can't walk in those shoes because mm-hmm. we were never in a school where a lot of folks didn't look mm-hmm. like us. Talk to our listeners about what that was like for you and your brothers.
Well, if you're talking about elementary school, I think there were maybe six in the whole school who were African-American. And some of the students, because this, you know, when I started, it was, probably in the 60s, that it didn't set too well that we were there, or I was there in the classroom. And I cited an example of this young man. I just saw his picture in the fourth grade thing.
It's only been 50 years, but you
it brought back some memory. There's a look on the face, right?
Yeah.
It brought back a few
so
memories.
We had elementary school, you had to do this square dancing thing, and so I we for the partner up, and this one young boy, he said to me that he couldn't. Because his mother, his mother said he couldn't. Essentially, he could not dance with me because I was black. And so I was standing there. You know, can you imagine? You're looking around, and my teacher, and I will say his name, Mr. Friedman. He came to my rescue, and he became my dance partner.
Thank you, Mr. Friedman.
And I wish, I don't know whether he's still here. I would love to get in contact with
Mr. Friedman or Mr. Friedman's family.
Come
if you're listening, reach out to us so we can hook you up with the speaker.
Yeah. So those things. And then when you get to middle school, I had a teacher who was a science teacher who was an African-American woman. She gave, you know, I said, oh, there. So she would sort of like take me under her wing. But a lot of the students, they were not as bad, you know, but because they're gotten a little more used to it. Time high school came, it's irony. I hated math, but I loved physics, and I got A's in physics. And
how's that possible?
But
that's why you.
I hated math. I never tried physics.
That's why the speaker and Dr. Hrabowski have such a special bond. It's that physics thing. Now it all comes through.
Yeah. So you know, but there really wasn't an encouragement for me to go into physics. You know, and yeah, it's a good thing. So, but I wound up going into psychology to study why people act the way they do. So.
And what have you learned? Oh, that's next segment.
Yeah. Well, listen, I think we've got I know the speaker's busy. I know we can get her for one more segment. We're going to come back. Where are we, Nestor?
Who are our sponsors? State Fair, and I've already had some delicious eggs and bacon. I gave some of my bacon to Don.
It was good.
I'm trying to trim up here during the holidays and whatnot. We have the Speaker of the House, Adrian Jones, with us. We're going to be up at Jennings Cafe very, very soon, back at Fadley's with Police Commissioner Harrison next month. Find the whole schedule at BaltimorePositive.com. He's Don. We have the Speaker of the House. I'm Nestor. We are Baltimore Positive. Back for more from State Fair right after this.